Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Depths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism by Anne Case, co-authored with economist Angus Deaton, investigates a disturbing reversal in American health and well-being. The book centers on the rise in premature mortality among working-age adults, especially those without a four-year college degree, driven by drug overdoses, alcohol-related disease, and suicide. Case and Deaton argue that these outcomes are not isolated medical tragedies, but symptoms of deeper economic and social breakdown. They connect the surge in despair to long-run changes in labor markets, weakened worker bargaining power, and institutional failures that have left many people with fewer stable jobs, less community support, and diminished prospects. The authors also explore how the healthcare system and pharmaceutical industry dynamics intensified harm rather than alleviating it. Blending data, economic reasoning, and social analysis, the book challenges readers to reconsider how modern capitalism in the United States distributes risks and rewards, and what reforms might restore dignity, security, and health. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining deaths of despair and mapping the trend, the book popularizes the term deaths of despair to describe mortality from drug overdoses, alcohol-related causes, and suicide, and then shows how these deaths rose sharply in the United States. Case and Deaton focus on midlife outcomes and highlight that the pattern is not evenly spread across society. A core contribution is their emphasis on educational stratification. Americans without a four-year college degree experienced worsening mortality and morbidity, while outcomes for more educated groups generally improved. The authors treat this divergence as a signal that broad prosperity statistics can hide severe distress within large segments of the population. They also connect the mortality figures to a wider landscape of suffering, including chronic pain, disability, mental health challenges, family instability, and detachment from work. Rather than treating the crisis as a sudden shock, they trace it as an accumulation of pressures over decades, with the opioid epidemic acting as an accelerant. By grounding the discussion in data trends and comparisons across groups, the book sets up the argument that despair is measurable, patterned, and tied to specific social and economic conditions, not merely individual weakness or poor choices. Secondly, work, wages, and the collapse of a working-class bargain. A central theme is that the economic foundations that once supported a broad working class have eroded. Case and Deaton describe how less educated workers faced stagnant wages, reduced job security, and a decline in the kind of stable employment that offered identity, routine, and a path to a decent life. Deindustrialization, globalization, automation, and the shift toward service sector work are part of the backdrop, but the book also stresses institutions that shape bargaining power. Declining unionization, weaker labor protections, and corporate practices that prioritize shareholder value contribute to a labor market in which many workers feel replaceable and trapped. The authors argue that the loss is not only financial. Work historically provided status, community, and a sense of contribution, and its deterioration can spill into family life, health behaviors, and mental resilience. They connect these labor market shifts to rising pain and disability claims, as well as to the social isolation that can make substance misuse and self-harm more likely. The argument is that despair grows where people see no credible route to progress, and where the economy offers unstable jobs without respect or security. Thirdly, how the US healthcare and pharmaceutical systems amplify harm. Case and Deaton devote significant attention to the distinctive features of US healthcare, treating it as both a burden on workers and a vector for crisis. They argue that employer-based insurance links access to care to job quality, deepening inequality when stable employment disappears. High costs, administrative complexity, and gaps in coverage can produce financial stress and untreated conditions, feeding a cycle of deteriorating health. The book also analyzes the role of pharmaceutical marketing and prescribing practices in the expansion of opioid use. Without relying on sensationalism, the authors describe how incentives and regulatory failures helped normalize long-term opioid therapy for chronic pain, increasing exposure and risk. As dependence spread, many communities faced rising overdose deaths and strained health and social services. The authors broaden the lens beyond opioids to include alcohol-related disease and mental health care shortfalls, arguing that treatment systems often arrive late, are fragmented, or are unaffordable. Their critique is not that medicine lacks tools, but that the way care is financed and delivered can worsen insecurity, encourage harmful practices, and fail to provide consistent support for prevention and recovery. Fourthly, community, family, and the social experience of decline. The book links economic changes to social unraveling, emphasizing that despair is lived through relationships, institutions, and local life. Case and Deaton describe how communities built around stable jobs once supported marriage, civic participation, and informal networks of help. As prospects for less educated workers weakened, the authors argue that family formation became more fragile, social trust eroded, and people became more isolated. These shifts can be mutually reinforcing. Weaker networks reduce access to job leads, childcare help, and emotional support, while stress and substance misuse can further damage relationships. The authors also highlight how shame and perceived loss of status can intensify suffering, particularly when people believe they have fallen behind what previous generations could reasonably expect. They treat pain not only as a medical symptom, but as an experience shaped by work conditions, stress, and hopefulness. By connecting mortality data to everyday life, the book explains why the crisis is concentrated in certain places and populations. The point is that deaths of despair are a social phenomenon as much as an individual one, and that rebuilding well-being requires attention to dignity, belonging, and the institutions that sustain local resilience. Lastly, Capitalism in Question and Paths Toward Reform, Case and Deaton argue that the crisis reveals serious failures in how U.S. capitalism is organized and governed. They do not claim markets are inherently destructive, but they contend that policy choices and institutional arrangements allowed corporate power, especially in healthcare, to expand in ways that harmed workers and communities. The book suggests that the benefits of growth have been distributed unevenly, while risks have been pushed onto households through insecure work, rising medical costs, and weakened safety nets. In this framing, deaths of despair are a warning light for a system that delivers high national income alongside declining life prospects for many. The authors discuss the need for reforms that strengthen labor market institutions, improve access to affordable care, and restrain predatory or monopolistic practices. They emphasize that solutions should address root causes, not only symptoms, meaning policies that restore bargaining power, reduce exposure to dangerous drugs, and provide real opportunities for stable livelihoods. While acknowledging complexity and trade-offs, the book insists that the future of capitalism depends on whether it can support broad-based dignity and health, rather than rewarding a narrow set of winners while others lose hope. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a data-grounded explanation of why so many American communities are experiencing worsening health, rising addiction, and deepening pessimism. Policymakers, business leaders, public health professionals, and engaged citizens will find it especially useful because it connects individual suffering to structural drivers in labor markets, healthcare, and corporate incentives. The benefit to a reader's life is clarity. The book helps you interpret alarming headlines as part of a coherent pattern and encourages a more humane way to think about work, status, and social belonging. It also provides a framework for evaluating proposed fixes, distinguishing quick technical answers from reforms that address root causes. Compared with many books on inequality or the opioid epidemic, it stands out by integrating mortality trends with economic institutions and the lived experience of decline, while keeping the focus on a clearly defined set of outcomes. It is worth buying if you want a rigorous, accessible account that bridges economics and public health, offering a persuasive argument that improving health outcomes requires rebuilding the conditions for dignity, stability, and opportunity within modern capitalism. If you would like to support Anne Case, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.